When you're on the go and it's time to refresh your energy, grab an ice-cold Celsius, where zero sugar, seven essential vitamins, and proven ingredients meets pure refreshment. Unlike traditional energy drinks, each sip of Celsius is a perfect balance of flavor and function. So whether you're hitting the gym, the office, or your next adventure, grab a Celsius at your local retailer or visit Celsius.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
The last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, I know Joe O'Shea, when we get to TV and streaming in just a little while, is recommending Bad Nanny as his pick of the week, a two-part RT documentary which starts tonight on RT1. And later we're joined by its director and producer, Alan Bradley, and also by Lynn McDonald, who is appearing in this documentary as one of the victims of Samantha Cooks, who, Alan, I believe, is in prison at present, is she?
She is, yeah. She is in Limerick Prison at the moment, serving a three-year sentence.
Why?
She was convicted of welfare fraud. She was posing fraudulently as having Huntington's disease and was getting benefits for that. And she claimed up to €60,000 and was sentenced to 3 years for that. Yeah.
That's only a small part of the story, though, isn't it?
For sure, yeah. Yeah.
What are the main parts of the story?
Well, it's a long story because Samantha Cooks is a lady from England, from Gloucester, and she has been scamming across the UK, but mostly Ireland, for over a decade, posing under a host of aliases. She would pose as a character who has a backstory under a fake name, infiltrate a community there, usually run some kind of a scam, and then she would up sticks and leave to the next place in Ireland and start all over again.
Okay, hurting a lot of people along the way.
Definitely, yeah.
Lynn, you're one of those, aren't you?
I'm one of them, Matt, unfortunately.
Tell us your story of this woman. You didn't know her as Samantha Cooks, though, did you?
No, so I was introduced to Mary Poppins, really. Her name with us was Lucy Fitzwilliams. And at the time, I was a single mum to two kids. Ellie was 8 and my little girl Daisy was 3. Daisy subsequently passed last year. She was wholly incapacitated. She had a genetic condition called Rett syndrome. On top of that, she had mitochondrial disease, which gave her chronic lung failure. So Daisy was tube fed. She, as I said, was wholly incapacitated, wheelchair bound. She had no movement. She had no voice. She understood everything. But her needs were extremely medically complex. And as a single parent, you need help, you know, and mostly with the siblings. And this is across the board. In every walk of life for extra special families, it's the siblings who are never addressed. And as a parent, you can't pull yourself any further. I wish that was different when I look back now. So I was on my knees. And she was introduced to me as the most amazing person that my old next door neighbour that I grew up beside had in her life, who was caring for her child, Reese, who has autism. And she came in like a breath of fresh air. She told me she was qualified in child therapy, especially art and play therapy. And she was willing to help me free of charge, which, you know, times are hard when you can't work and you have to provide any amount of nursing and childcare for your sick child. So I thought this is exactly what our family needed. This is what Ellie needed. And she came in and she built a strong bond and a rapport with Ellie. At the very start, she had told me that it was confidential, and unless there was a child welfare issue or she had a major concern that she felt needed extra additional supports, it was between them. And I knew this was standard practice, you know, and I felt, okay, for Ellie, this is good. I'm sure she had things that she wanted to scream and shout about and that she didn't want to upset anybody at home. And I left them to it.
How much time would Ellie have spent with her?
So I think she had 16. From what I've worked out over the last year, she had about 16 sessions. And then outside of that, she would have met her on a family friend type of situation. They would have spent an hour each time together, mainly outdoors, or we had a cabin outside and they would have gone out there. They would have done paintings and pictures and gone for walks. And then all of a sudden, Matt, it all came crashing down.
In what way?
So there was a trip to Lapland that had been discussed from early on. And this trip to Lapland was going to give the kids who really needed it in our community a fantastic time, and it was going to be subsidised. We paid deposits and we paid for any additional trips that we wanted to do when we were there. And the day before it all ended, a cheque was to be handed over for 20,000 to Samantha. But Samantha took unwell and ended up in hospital. And Hilary, my neighbour who had introduced her to me, received a call, and Lucy had asked her if she could come and collect her from the hospital. So when she got there, the woman didn't realise that it was the same person they were talking about when Hilary asked, could I see Lucy? And she said, the only woman we have here at the moment is Samantha. And she walked into the room presuming it was just a mistake, or, and true enough, it was Lucy behind the curtain. And
except that she was in as a patient under the name of Samantha.
In as a patient named Samantha Cooks. So this was the first alarm bell. That night, Hilary brought her home and things just started to unravel slightly. There were little telltale signs. Her anxiety was through the roof. She felt something was off. So she was going to spend the next night with another friend because they were advised not to leave her on her own. She had had a collapse and she had discharged herself against doctor's advice. So very quickly, the digging started. Lorraine, our other friend, started to look for the women's refuge that she had claimed she had going, that we all supported financially. We gifted, you know, we were part of it. And it didn't exist. The place that she said, the land that her home was being built on, didn't exist. And eventually, Lorraine went to the house that she was living in. And the woman allowed her in and she found everything. She found the burner phones. She found documents. She found forged paperwork. She found forged identification. And that's when we decided we would go to the police and bring all of the information with us. And very quickly, everything started to unravel.
How upsetting was that for everybody that you'd met this woman who you'd placed your trust in, in the sense you allowed your children to be with her,
yep,
that you'd given money for something that you were going to do as a major trip for the children, that you were supporting what you thought was a refuge for women, and then to discover that the whole thing was an entire sham?
Money was nothing, Matt. The trip didn't. Of course, you know, it was hard for the kids, but that didn't come down to the issue. The issue for me was I had given my children's copy of passports. And on top of that, she had been requesting documentation to be able to take Ellie with my consent outside of the country. And when it all came out that there was no trip to Lapland, I immediately started to question, well, why did she want to take my child and have my permission to take my child out of the country? Subsequently, you know, we know that there have been a lot of things that have happened in her past, and it is terrifying still now when I think back on what could have happened. And it left me in a position where I didn't trust anybody around my children. We had the police doing drive-bys in the house. We had CCTV put in. The kids couldn't play at the end of the garden because I couldn't see any further than outside the front door. It changed everything for us. And it changed my parenting. I became overprotective. And obviously when you're so engrossed in caring for a very sick child, the other child needs equally as much, and I couldn't give that to her. And it meant that they were just wrapped up in cotton wool 24/7. And that's one thing that I can never forgive Samantha Cooks for.
Alan, what Lynn just there hinted at as well, there are suspicions, aren't there, in relation to Samantha Cooks' behaviour as to the reasons behind it and as to whether it's safe to leave her with children. What can you actually say safely about that?
Well, I suppose what we do know is Samantha has two children of her own in the UK whose social services have removed from her care for their welfare. So I suppose that would be a concern to any parent who then has her looking after their children and they're none the wiser.
Absolutely. 3 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
So she's due out when?
So I suppose it would be 2028.
Actually, she had another 6 months recently added onto that for theft. And my guess is, Matt, now that the documentary will be aired tonight, that there will be many more people coming out of the woodwork who've been too afraid to say what happened or embarrassed that they allowed somebody in. So in the space of the last 2 years, the amount of victims that have come forward is just astronomical.
Because, Alan, how many aliases has she used in Ireland that we know of?
It's actually hard to keep track of because there's so many. And like Lynn says, new stories come out of the woodwork all the time. We know, I think, definitely seven. But there's all kinds of ones she used where she really lived as that character. And then ones she just used online or to set up businesses and things like that. So it's actually hard to put an exact number on it.
Any indication as to what her motivation is? Or is it that she is just a very unwell person living in some sort of fantasy world?
Well, we know that she was diagnosed with pathological lying. So I suppose there's a propensity there to tell lies. And you would see that in a lot of the stories. I think even, Lynn, you might say often the bigger lies, like having Huntington's disease or being a child therapist, people just accept that often at face value. Why would anybody lie about that?
Yeah, if somebody tells you that, you're not going to go off and do a check to see if they're telling the truth, if they seem convincing, are you?
And she does seem very convincing. But often it's the small, unnecessary lies that start to build up where people start to think, there's something not right here. You know, she would have everywhere she'd go, usually there would be a bogus wedding she was preparing for. There'd be a fake fiance that would never show up. But then the wedding would get more fantastical. It would be Star Wars themed, or she would be going to Burning Man Festival for her honeymoon and the set of The Walking Dead. Yeah. So I suppose they're the things that make people go, this just doesn't add up.
And yet, was she a likable character? Did she take people in through forced personality?
So I wasn't exaggerating when I said she was like Mary Poppins when she came in. She was she was just everything you would want in a friend. She was everything you would want in a therapist for your children. And you would want her around. She was just lovely, lovely.
Just to finish, Lynn, are you happier now at least that she's in prison, that she can't do more damage to more people? Do you feel a sense of closure with this documentary as well?
I thought I would, Matt, but I went down to Killarney for her sentencing and I don't feel any better. And I've heard from a couple of criminology psychiatrists over the last 24 hours who have said these individuals, they don't change, they can't change. So for me, I know this woman will be released and she will be back out on the streets wherever she ends up. And that's why, as a group of individuals, we have pushed as far as we can to make sure that her face is out there so that people will recognize her and know who she is, not to cause her damage or harm, because she does that to herself, but to make sure that vulnerable families and children like ours are protected in the future.
Lynn McDonald, thank you very much for telling us your story. And Anna Bradley, congratulations on the documentary Bad Nanny, which is on RTE1 television tonight, 9:35, again next Monday night. It's a two-parter and it will also be available on the RT player.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
When you're on the go and it's time to refresh your energy, grab an ice-cold Celsius, where zero sugar, seven essential vitamins, and proven ingredients meets pure refreshment. Unlike traditional energy drinks, each sip of Celsius is a perfect balance of flavor and function. So whether you're hitting the gym, the office, or your next adventure, grab a Celsius at your local retailer or visit Celsius.com to learn more.